The word of God tells us in no uncertain terms that man is in a terrible natural condition and state. This begins in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We see it, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we see the principle of fallen man, and we see the principle of universality in the New Testament in the Epistle to the Romans. In the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So he brought you to life. That's what quicken means in King James English. He has brought you to life. And you who were dead, that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, that you were dead. At verse 3 following, he says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, talking about the Gentiles, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we see here in Ephesians this principle that you were dead in trespass and sin, that you were brought to life to even come to Christ, and that prior to that you were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and that by nature these desires cause you to become a child of wrath. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, we read, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So here we say, we hear in songs, pop songs, and we're told by different people, follow your heart, you follow where your heart leads. Well, the word says that it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could even know it? Unknowable. Or in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we read, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Okay, let's look at that again. God's looking at the wickedness of man. He sees that it's great. And this incredible statement that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. That is to say, nonstop. At Genesis 8, chapter 21, we read in the middle of the verse that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. So once again, not following your heart, not how wonderful your heart is, not how your heart's going to lead you in the right direction, but that the imagination of our hearts is evil from our youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3 tells us that the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. So the heart of the sons of men full of evil with madness while they live. There's the true state of mankind. Mark chapter 7, verse 21, we read, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So the word is telling us that inside of our heart is full of evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murders, etc. And all these things are coming from within us. They're native to our condition. They're native to our fallen, lost hearts. John chapter 8, verse 44, speaking to the priests, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." So here once again, the Lord is pointing out, the Messiah is pointing out, that in their unsaved condition outside of him, that they will do the works of their father the devil, and that he is our father, and that his desires, the lusts, his strong desires, will do. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Indeed, the father of it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, we read of those who are taken captive by him, that is the devil, at his will. People who are taken captive by the devil at his will. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, "Whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So we have a test here that when we're walking the walk, that we're going to do righteousness. And we're going to love our earthly brothers and sisters. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." The whole world lieth in wickedness. The entire world. All of it. Everything. Romans chapter 6, verse 20, "For when ye were the servants," i.e. slaves, "of sin, you were free from righteousness." So while in our natural state, while we're slaves to sin, we don't have any righteousness at all. You are free from it, he says. Romans chapter 6, verse 20, "When you were the slaves of sin," it says servants in King James, the slaves in Greek, "you were free from righteousness." Didn't have any at all. That's our natural state. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Once again, there's our natural state. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving lust, pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. Man's natural state. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews," which still existed at that time but do not today, "and Gentiles, and they are all under sin." And let me read that again without my commentary. "For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written in verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So, these, I assume, real Jews at the time, and the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, that of both of them, as it is written in the prophets, none righteous, not one. There's none understanding, there's none seeking after God, and every single one of them has gone out of their way. Together become unprofitable, none that doeth good, no, not one. That pretty well narrows it down. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There it is. Every single religious system in the world, all wiped out in two verses. The carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy of God. It's not subject to the law of God, and it can't be. So everyone who's telling you how you come to their little cult group, their little cult meetings, and you're going to get this all worked out, it says, no, it's not going to happen. You're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can you be. And because of this, it's impossible to please God in the flesh. That is our human condition. And finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, that is outside Christ, how we're born naturally, he can't even receive the things of the Spirit. So the Spirit showed it to him, he can't receive it. And not only that, they're foolishness to him, and he is unable to know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And he is dead in sin and trespass in his natural state and unable to do anything for himself or herself to remedy this situation. That is the doctrine of soteriology, i.e. the doctrine of salvation. First section, man's natural condition and the natural man.